Hi everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Climate of Sport podcast, Ask Me Anything with me, Claire Poole. It's a pleasure to be back with you for this week's episode, and this week we are answering the question, how can we invest in women to accelerate action? This question coincides with International Women's Day 2024, and the UN theme for this year is investing in women. So it's a great moment to remind ourselves why this is so important, and of course, importantly, how sport can intersect with this really important issue. As a reminder, closing gender gaps in employment could boost GDP per capita by 20%. So in terms of investing in women to accelerate action, this is not an altruistic mission. By doing this, we are supporting the gender gap closing, and therefore we're going to boost the GDP in our own countries by up to 20%. Women spend around 3 times more of their time on unpaid care work than men. If these activities were assigned a monetary value, they would account for more than 40% of the GDP. Both of these statistics are taken from UN Women. In regard to climate change, the UN Food and Agriculture Organization released a recent report that shows rural households led by women lose 8% more of their income to heat stress than male-headed households, and their reduction in income when floods struck was about 3% greater than those losses to men. So again, as climate change exacerbates, unfortunately, women are going to be more impacted by men. In terms of those statistics I've just mentioned, the difference around the loss of income relating to heat stress or flood, the difference when scaled up to the world's low and middle income country adds up to about an extra $37 billion that have been lost to women from heat stress and $16 billion extra from floods each year. We know already, and there's an ongoing and growing evidence base that shows climate impacts will exacerbate existing inequalities, and women are disproportionately impacted by the climate breakdown. That's why this is such an important issue globally. But what's going on in sport more specifically? The Sport Integrity Global Alliance shows that only 26.9% of executive positions in international federations are held by women. That is a result of a survey carried out in 2023 and included data provided by the 31 largest international federations. This is an increase from 2019, where it sat at 18.3%. But of course, whilst we're on the journey and it's increasing, we of course, 26.9% is a long way from women leaders compared to men at international federations. But there's incredible news, because we are living in a new era for women's sport. And we know from figures that women's sport is on the up and up at an incredibly fast pace. So Deloitte, in a recent report, said that they expect 2024 to be the year that women's elite sport generates more than $1 billion in revenue. So they will break the $1 billion revenue barrier they expect this year, which is huge. And the Women's Sport Trust have revealed that major international women's sporting events have continued to drive record-breaking audience figures. A lot of you might remember the NCAA game between the University of Nebraska and their rival Omaha that saw 92,003 spectators at Lincoln Stadium, according to the university, surpassing the previous record for the largest crowd at a women's sport game, which was a UEFA Champions League women's football game in Barcelona that drew 91,648 attendees. We are seeing an increase in interest in women's sport, investment in women's sport, attendance and spectators, and we expect this to continue to rise, but it will not rise as quickly as it needs to without investment in women's sport, but also investment in women in the overall business landscape of sport as well. So how can sport help? If you are listening to this podcast and you sit within an organization within the sport landscape, how can you help? If you're in a position of hiring or influencing the hiring of people, you should be ensuring you're equally considering women in these roles. That does not mean that you are simply putting out job specs and hoping that women apply and hoping then that women end up in those roles. We have to be thoughtful and inclusive about the language we're using and our expectations, because we know the statistic that I mentioned at the top of the podcast here about the fact that women spend more than 3 times more of their time on unpaid care work than men show to us that The expectation is more on women to take those unpaid care roles, either as mothers or taking care of elderly parents or people within their family with additional needs, etc. The reliance is heavily on women. So if we are looking to hire women into sport, especially into leadership positions, that looks different to hiring men. So we need to be open and frank, and we need to look at how we can support working mums, how we can build in flexibility to roles, whether we can consider job shares. And also within that, understanding that that looks slightly differently, but understanding that the evolution of our industry needs to include this to be inclusive and to be sustainable. Also acknowledge the complementary leadership skills that women will bring to those positions that will increase and support and help the sport organisation as well. So think carefully about how you are effectively ensuring that you can encourage them to do so by overcoming some of the challenges that they may see when applying for these roles. If you're in a position of procuring goods and services, so again, that might be at a very large scale or it might be at a very small scale, think about what your decision-making process is when you are procuring goods and services. If you have a strategy in place, does it include looking at potentially women-owned businesses, minority-owned businesses, again, through the lens of both sustainability and inclusivity? Who's responsible for that? What is the process in place? And does it adequately ensure that you are investing in women as part of that procurement? We know mentorship programs can be a great way to support women and girls who benefit from that connection, encouragement, support in terms of their own career path. Women who work in sport are often one of very few women in the room. It is different for sustainability. You know, we have a lot more women leaders in sustainability. So we are probably one of the much more equitable spaces in the business of sport. But in the wider context, often women are in the minority. And in terms of women's progression of their career, mentorship programs can be really, really valuable in terms of supporting women on that way. And we're talking to men and women, when I'm talking about this, you don't have to be a woman to mentor a younger woman or a girl on their journey and within their career. Obviously, everyone can get involved with that and actually can be incredibly beneficial. I myself, over the years, have had multiple, both male and female mentors, and I think both have been incredibly helpful with my career progression, as I'm sure a lot of people listening to this have as well. Then the last one, which is a straightforward one, is less of a time investment, but it's just more of a reminder to use your voice in meetings and in gatherings if you feel the women present aren't being appropriately recognised or platformed for their contribution. And I'm not undermining the fact that the majority of women I know would not allow their voice to be overlooked in those particular arenas, but also it's very important for everyone to be an ally in the guise at the moment of focusing on how we can invest in women who work in sport. It might be a helpful thought there. Investing in women's sport, obviously we're in a golden age for women's sport. And I guess one of the main ways we can think about beyond the obvious ways of investing in women's sport. So of course, if you're working with a brand, then look at female athlete sponsorship. If you're a broadcaster, look at rights for women's sport. If you're a club, you know, try and provide guidance and support for women within the sport and invest in them directly. But beyond that, I guess for us, in terms of the way we can invest in women's sport through a sustainability lens, how can we support women athletes to use their voices on sustainability and climate change in an authentic way? We do a lot of work, obviously, talking around athlete, and the previous podcast has been on supporting and uplifting athlete voices. But again, how can we specifically help women's sport more, whether it's through training, through guidance, how we can help within their roles, and also putting forward women players or women athletes can be a really helpful way to increase their media coverage as well. How can we, through the media, make sure that we are platforming more women's voices and women's sport? What I do, obviously, we talk a lot about communicating in this area and talking about not just telling other people what to do, but what are you doing yourself? Obviously, Sport Positive is a woman-owned business, and I actually have an all-female team. Of course, we have men helping around the summit and on certain projects, but broadly, all the people who work with me year-round are women. We lead with hiring female staff and volunteers. I mentor and have mentored younger people either looking to get started in sport and sustainability. I actually mentor both men and women, but especially women over the year, who often come to me for advice in regards to imposter syndrome. Everyone needs that support, but often younger women can need that mentorship more. Myself included, we all need support in this, and actually having a strong network is absolutely crucial in terms of navigating this space for a lot of people. So that's really important in terms of mentoring. In terms of our own accountability, we ensure gender parity through the outlets we have control over. So speakers at our summit, guests on our podcast, any focuses around social media in terms of the stories or leadership, we try and ensure there's obviously diversity, but also gender parity through that. And we also ask questions. So I'm frequently asked to speak at events, whether it's on panels or as a leader or as a chair. And I always ask the question, as I would expect others to ask of me, who else is speaking on the program? Pushing back against all male panels. Always asking the question, I think, is the most important with that. And I would expect everyone to do the same for me. We reached out to our community to hear how other sport and sustainability leaders think we can take action in this area. And I'm going to cover some of those now. We will put a lot of these out in full on our social media platforms as well, so you can read it, because there is some incredible insights. And I'm also going to collate them into one overall document, which is divided by themes, because we've had a lot of leaders, women leaders in our community, come back with their thoughts, and I won't have time to cover them all now, so they will be covered more exhaustively. But when I asked how are they investing in women to accelerate action, there was a number of great responses that I'm going to cover now. So Danielle Dozer from the Cleveland Cavaliers really highlighted the role of mentoring, which I've already mentioned there. So Danielle said, we should invest in women in sports through mentorship of those within our organizations and young women who may be interested in working in sport. At any level, you can provide guidance, insights, and an ear to listen to other women. Mentorship between women can result in confidence, power, and deep bonds. As we say at the Cleveland Cavaliers, empower her. So that's brilliant from Danielle. And that mentoring vibe, I think, is incredibly important. And I think actually, even just in conversations, we mentor each other. Often in a lot of sport and sustainability conversations, whether it's women together or men and women, it often feels like a therapy session. So a great one to start off with there from Danielle. Jo Gilbert, who's head of sustainability at the Australian Football League, really underlined the openness and the sharing of wisdom, as well as supporting working mums on this journey, which we mentioned. So Jo said, I'd say that women have the unique ability to raise each other up and be each other's biggest cheer squad. I've experienced this overwhelming in my new role as sustainability, where I've leaned on others to share their wisdom. I'm also passionate about supporting the next generation of working mums. I feel it's important to be real, honest, and transparent about the challenges I faced and share my insights into grounding your position and value within your organization before going on parental leave. I've seen some great examples of organizations promoting women while on parental leave because they're the best person for the job. And I've seen some not great situations where it's been a bit of a case of out of sight, out of mind. Investing in recognizing the experience, maturity, empathic leadership, not to mention the ability to just get on with it that working mums can bring to an organization, is always going to add value to any business. It's been great to see innovations such as job share roles between mums introduced in some organizations, and I look forward to seeing this become more of an opportunity as flexible working is today. Again, a really important note, and actually through ourselves at Sport Positive, one of the big areas that I wanted to do is to support working mums, because a number of my friends, once they had their children, they found going back into the workplace was very difficult in terms of where their work had previously been located and where they live and childcare needs. But what we need to do is really take care of working mums, because they're such an incredible resource. They've got so much experience and so much to bring. And that's two of the people who work for me remotely are working mums. We achieve everything we need to in a more flexible setup. Kristen Fulmer, head of sustainability at Oakview Group, really wanted to talk about celebrating the power and tenacity of women, which was incredibly uplifting. So Kristen said, sustainability, which is a largely female-dominated field, is still an emerging topic within sport, a largely male-dominated industry. But we are a mighty group of conveners, advocates, and change makers that are not willing to take no for an answer. Just like every big obstacle that came before this movement, the drive towards continuous progress is treacherous, and most of the individuals on the front lines are not celebrated or recognised. But the female leaders I work with across the industry have an impact that scales far beyond the pitch, court, or field of play, which is fantastic. Sarah Cassam, who's a sustainability advisor at UK Sport, said to me, this is a bit left field, but include it if you want. But I think it's a fantastic one. Again, we often talk about working mums, which we've just mentioned there. But what about athletes who are looking to have a child while they're competing? That they're also within our community. And how are we supporting them? So Sara says, I think investing in supportive environments for women tailored to their needs is crucial. For example, it's so important to have a well-researched guidance on major life events such as pregnancy to ensure that sport support is provided for athletes who wish to have a child whilst being a member of a high-performance funded program. Sport can set an example to other sectors, reinforcing that women shouldn't have to make a choice between having a family and holding a high-performance professional role. And she also gave a link to the guidance for major life events such as pregnancy for athletes that UK Sport have created. So we'll add that in the show notes as well. But that's a really, really important one and incredibly, incredibly interesting side to this as well. Helen Taylor, who's an ambassador for Forest Green Rovers, really wants to surface the unique skills from women and how we have to invest in them to accelerate in action. So Helen says, we've got a lot to give across the world of sport, from helping accelerate the more environmental agenda to leading sport organisations and clubs. To do this successfully, our skills need to be seriously acknowledged. We're good leaders, often short of time, with competing expectations and needs to be fulfilled at home and in business. So efficient in the way we go about things, driven, passionate, and achieving our goals, and are likely to be top of our game. Again, I think the same as we can see in women's sport, women driving more into leadership positions, we have to acknowledge it's not going to look the same as it has done before. And that's a great thing, because men and women have incredible complementary skill sets, but diversity of thought as well. And how we can benefit from both of those perspectives is going to be really, really important. Julia Pally, who's Vice President of Sustainability at Formula E, really wanted to highlight breaking barriers through this particular intervention. So she says, Formula E proudly champions gender equality in motorsport through initiatives like FIA Girls on Track, nurturing female talent across various fields, including engineering, software, media, logistics, and driving. A huge milestone was getting Saudi Arabian driver Reem Al Aboud into our Gen Beta development car, shattering the Formula One acceleration benchmark while breaking barriers and stereotypes for female drivers. An incredible example there of sport supporting and investing in women to accelerate, pun intended, to accelerate action. Jess Murfree, another incredible insight here from Jess, who's an assistant professor at the University of Cincinnati. She wanted to really bring through within how we can invest in women the acknowledgement of the power, volume, and trustworthiness of female voices in the climate movement specifically. So Jess says, we have seen so many powerful examples of the leadership and growth within women's sport recently. We should also be reminded of the power, volume, and trustworthiness of female voices in the climate movement. Investing in women's sport at all levels is an investment in the platforms and opportunities for advocacy for female athletes, coaches, and organizations. Despite the disproportionate vulnerabilities and health disparities that women and girls face in the climate crisis and our uphill battles for equality in sport, I am inspired by our relentless pursuit for a more just, fun, and livable world. A great one there from Jess. And another similar perspective in terms of leadership, Maddie Orr, assistant professor at University of Toronto, also doubles down on this leadership theme by saying, the data consistently shows exposing women to sport and exposing sport to women is good for the triple bottom line. Girls who play sport grow into women who lead, and when women lead, they deliver on social and environmental goals. So a really concise but brilliant insight there from Maddie in terms of the benefits, the triple bottom line. Marissa Schlenker, another one of our great community leaders at the UNIS Sports Hub wanted to make sure grassroots investment was mentioned within this outreach. So Marissa said, we're at an exciting time when the investment in women's sport, women's leagues, clubs and athletes is growing. Let's make sure this continues and that it extends in an inclusive and equitable way to the wider sports ecosystem, and that not only are women as athletes supported, but also those working in the sports system and those ready and equipped to take on leading positions. Let's also push for greater investment in grassroots sport to ensure that women and girls of all backgrounds, abilities, and socioeconomic factors have the opportunity to play, coach, officiate, lead, and volunteer in safe and welcoming sport environments. This is an investment which will lead to positive outcomes for the individual, the sport organisations, and the wider community. A few more to go, but they're also brilliant. And Kate Sandbrook, who recently published some incredible research around athletes competing in extreme heat now at University of Bath, wanted to underline all of this work in terms of women leadership as a foundation for peaceful societies. Kate says, prioritising equality for women and girls is vital for nations, as it acknowledges that this is not just an issue of rights, but also the foundation of peaceful societies. In sport, this entails governments and other organisations taking proactive measures to combat discrimination, allocating funds for initiatives that assist women and girls, and making sure that investments, budgets, and policies reflect their needs. This will ultimately drive women's inclusion and leadership in sport. Kathy Gibbs at the England and Wales Cricket Board wanted to include all aspects of sport. She wanted to ensure that we're not just thinking about it through one lens. So Kathy says representation is important. At the ECB, we're working hard to enable women have opportunities in all roles across the game. For our sports to be truly inclusive and sustainable, women must be involved in all aspects of sport. Planning, design, development, the running of venues, events, and the wider strategy. This way, we can ensure the perspective of 100% of the population is considered and ensure all feel welcome. More female leadership can lead to better performance in environmental sustainability too. This is thanks to women's collaborative style, communications abilities, and their long-term cathedral thinking. In short, provision of equal opportunities in all roles lead to multiple wins for everyone and the planet too. Katie Cross, who's the founder of Pledge Ball, wanted to talk about more substantive ways around training and networking, which are both really, really important, I think, in terms of investing in women. So Katie says, to invest in women and accelerate action, we should invite women leaders in sport into training that prepares and empowers them to challenge some of the inherent prejudice that are still normalized in sport business. This action would enable women to create and maintain a supportive network as a result. Additionally, we need to identify the barriers to women of all ages, from girls to pensioners, to participate in group sport and address these issues urgently. And a continuation of the platforming women, so again through training and through being more visible. Mie Kajikawa, who's the advisory committee member for the FIBA Foundation, when I asked her how she sees it and what she wants, she says, we need more female leaders in sports business. They need experiences to gain confidence and realize it's just like riding a bicycle. Her Pivot project has provided female professionals at Japanese pro sports with free public speaking training and occasions to speak together with global female leaders. It's important to team up to accelerate the performance. So great insights there in terms of training. Sheila Wan, who's been included on the podcast before, wanted to say, investing in the other 50%, we are inviting everyone to get their hearts, minds and hands doing. We need all the rainbow of skills, approaches, energies and ideas to accelerate solutions to address our world's enormous challenges. We need everyone in, which is a great way to finish in terms of our guest contributions. And all of those will be available in an article and also on social media if you want to reread through of some of those. And incredible insights. And as Sheila would say, they're a rainbow of information and insights to share in terms of this theme and this question around how to invest in women to accelerate action. I guess my view, just to finish off on, is all of these ways that we've mentioned, from mentorship, training, hiring, participation, breaking barriers, sharing wisdom, supporting women, highlighting women's unique skills, contribution, tenacity. It's incredible to have the opportunity to surface some of these ways in which women are incredible and some of the ways in which we can continue to invest in women to accelerate action. As Sheila mentioned there, we need everyone's input to find and accelerate the solutions, not least in sport in terms of our community. It's such an honour to be part of this community, many of which within the sustainability sector in sport is led by women. The men in our space are incredible allies. I'm grateful for our community. I'm grateful as the community grows. And I think there's so many incredible perspectives there of all the different ways we can invest in women to accelerate action. So I hope you've enjoyed that. I hope you've taken something away. I'd love to hear on social media how you're investing in women to accelerate action. And I wish you all a happy International Women's Day 2024. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Climate of Sport, Ask Me Anything. Don't forget, you could submit your question, any question at all about sport and sustainability through our email address, which is hello@climateofsport.com. You can also submit your question through our website, www.sportpositive.org/podcast, or DM us on our social media pages, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Twitter or X. If you don't wish us to read out your name, please just write the word anonymous at the top of your message. If you enjoyed this week's episode and you'd like to get it every week, click follow on the podcast to get it directly into your playlist. And please do share, give a review, and comment on the social media coverage of this episode. It helps us share the message further. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.